It's Cole and Company, the Cedar Valley's maximum sports talk show.
If you don't love it, leave it.
Afternoons from 5 to 6 on 1650 The Fan.
A little bouncer slowly toward Bryant. He will glove it and throw to Rizzo. It's in time. And the Chicago Cubs win the World Series.
At 102.3 FM.
Cyclones won't foul. Cousins just dribbles out the clock. And Iowa State has knocked off the number one team in the country, Oklahoma.
On the 1650 The Fan app.
Farouk Benesh on three.
Good! You can't be serious with that shot.
And streaming online at 1650thefan.com.
This is what's great about sports. This is what the greatest thing about sports is. You play to win the game. Hello? You play to win the game.
And now, here's your host.
I know I'm smarter, and that's not
Colbert.
Good afternoon, everybody. Welcome in. I am your host, Colbert. It is a Tuesday edition of the show. I am inside the Shirley Street studio. It is December 6th of 2022. And as usual, a very ambitious agenda laid out for today's program. However you are tuned in, know that I appreciate it very, very much. Feeling it even more today after what was just a great night last night at Dad's Pub in Waterloo for 2022 Fan Frenzy, Ultimate Pigskin Pick'em Frenzy. We had combined a couple of our promotions together, and boy, what a hit. Would have liked a little bit more excitement quarters one through three of that Buccaneers-Saints game last night, but it sure delivered late in the fourth quarter as Tom Brady led the Buccaneers on a 13-point comeback to win that game and have the game-winning drive there at the end. And it was a lot of fun giving away just great prizes. Cannot thank our sponsors enough. Got it started with our first quarter prize of the Lazy Boy recliner from Slumberland Furniture in Cedar Falls. Congratulations to Michael Wells for taking that home. In the second quarter, it was Tubbs R Us coming in with the Green Mountain Ledge Prime Pellet Grill. Caleb Wallace, the fortunate one there. Congratulations, Caleb. And then in the third quarter, it was the Whole Home Humidifier from Air Services. And Terry Fisher was the lucky winner of that. Congratulations again to you, Terry. And then late in the evening, after some folks, understandably so, went and headed home and said it was bedtime, those that stuck around, a really good crowd that stuck around and saw that dramatic finish to that game, and then the dramatic drawing of the fourth quarter grand prize from our presenting sponsor, Hawkeye Audio Video in Cedar Falls. Kent and TJ, like usual, coming through big time with the 75-inch Sony 4K LED TV. And what a great home it went to as an outstanding listener of ours, Gabriel Benson, was the lucky one and heard his name called and took home the big screen. And looking forward to meeting Gabriel over at Hawkeye Audio Video here soon to see him pick up that television and be able to take some pictures of that moment. And you'll hear from Gabriel. Let's hear from Gabriel right now. Here's his reaction last night. Our Scott Finsloff, kind enough to stick the microphone in front of him and get the instant reaction.
I cannot believe that I'm the winner, but 75-inch TV. I absolutely love this night. Fans Frenzy's been amazing, and I just thank you. Thank you guys so much.
And Gabriel very quickly knew exactly where this TV is going in the house.
Oh, it's going up right above the fireplace, which nobody likes that, but I love it. Get a little fireplace in the winter. We're going to watch some college football, Super Bowl. Thank you guys so much. This is amazing.
I'm jealous. I'm jealous, man. Your TV, it's running laps around mine. I like mine, but it's not a 75-inch Sony 4K LED TV, so Cannot thank Hawkeye Audio Video enough. All of our great sponsors. Also got to thank Hungry Charlie's Lunchbox for providing the food last night. I saw a whole bunch of clean plates, so I think that's all we need to know about how Hungry Charlie's Lunchbox came through with last night's eats. Echo Vision, Ted's Home and Hardware, also a couple great sponsors. So, and certainly, last but not least, Dad's Pub. Jordan and his team there, what a great job. What a great venue. It's really just a perfect cozy home for Fan Frenzy, and it's just been a real treat there the past couple of years. So thank you so much, everybody, for coming out last night. And like I mentioned at the end of the night, you know, and mentioning all the sponsors, I know a lot of times the commercial breaks come on and you know, you go from listening to just hearing. But, you know, patronizing those businesses, that's what makes, you know, really good local radio happen. And I know I can speak for myself and Mark Simpson that you guys go out there, support the businesses that support us, and we'll keep supporting you with the radio content that we all know just from sitting down and talking to so many of you last night in years past at other events, bringing you that local radio content that we know means so much to all of you. So, yeah, just thanks. Already looking forward to next year. Start the countdown, 364 more days, or give or take, until 2023 Fan Frenzy. All right, let's get into the details. Make sure that you're following us on social media. You could check out all of last night's fun from Fan Frenzy. If you like our Facebook page, type in 1650 The Fan on the Zuck Machine. You'll be able to check that out. And then follow us on Twitter at 1650KCNZ. I'm on Twitter at RealColeBear. And make sure that you check out the website, not only for the stream that you can listen to all of our great programming on, but all that great local and statewide sports content that I've been talking about can be found there. Bookmark it, 1650thefan.com. Dial me up today if you have any questions or comments to join the show with, 319-277-1918. 319-277-1918, or you can dial 800-913-9479. Email address, cole@1650thefan.com. Fire away with any questions or comments you might have. Maybe there's someone or something you'd like to hear from or about on a future show. By all means, hit me up, and happy to read your emails. Just know I might read them on the air, so try to keep your profanity to a minimum. All right, we'll get to area sports news and scores here in just a few short moments. After we're done there, we will take the first time out, get you a CBS Sports Flash during that break, as well as a VSiN Action update and a forecast for the rest of this Tuesday, looking into tomorrow and Thursday. Sounds like we got, yeah, the S-word, snow, coming later this week on Thursday, so we'll hear what Megan Mulford has to say about it in that first time out. We'll come back on the other side, and in the second segment today, our friend David Eichold of HawkeyeInsider.com, scheduled to join the show. You follow David on Twitter, at David Eichold, and we got to talk about the latest goings-on with Iowa football and players continuing to enter the transfer portal. Also a big, big game for Iowa men's hoops tonight, so we'll talk about that as well when David drops by. After we're done talking Hawks with David, we'll take a timeout near the bottom of the hour. Get your Radio Iowa Sports with Todd Kim during that break. Come back on the other side, and Tommy Birch, Des Moines Register sports writer, Iowa Cubs beat writer. Tommy, well-connected in the baseball community, and the winter meetings are, I mean, we're right in the thick of things. Winter meetings happening in San Diego, and thankfully, this is kind of playing out the way that many of the biggest baseball reporters and writers had predicted, that given the you know, the unrest of labor disputes, labor, basically just the fact there was the lockout last season, there was the pandemic season before that, things are more normal, much more normal now with the Major League Baseball offseason, and the hot stove's burning. And the winter meetings, I mean, there was a report earlier that maybe Aaron Judge is going to go to the Giants. Then that got pulled back, got retracted. So there's a lot of smoke out there. And Tommy's going to join the show, and we're gonna pick his brain and have him tell us what's actually what. And look forward to that. We'll talk Major League Baseball off season with Tommy Birch of the Des Moines Register coming up in the third segment of today's show. After we're done talking with Tommy, we'll take our final timeout, get you an NFL Network update, as well as Dan Patrick's Above the Noise commentary. Then we'll come back for a final time and wrap up what is a Tuesday edition of the show. All right, let's dive right in here. Area sports news and scores tonight in Metro High School sports and boys basketball. Waterloo East is at home against Des Moines Hoover. Also, the Waterloo East girls at home against Hoover. That a boy-girl varsity doubleheader. Same goes for Waterloo Columbus tonight. A girl-boy doubleheader at Columbus as the Sailors are playing host to Applington Parkersburg. In girls basketball tonight, Class 5A top-ranked Waterloo West plays at Cedar Rapids Prairie. And the Cedar Falls girls play host to Cedar Rapids Washington. You can listen to that game on our companion station tonight, Cruising KCFI. Pre-game coverage with Dave Finnegan begins around 7:15. Meanwhile, in Metro girls wrestling this evening, Cedar Falls is at a tournament at Waverly-Shell Rock. And in boys swimming, Cedar Falls has a home meet against Iowa City West, and Waterloo West is playing host to Dubuque Hempstead. The Iowa High School Athletic Association has began the process to implement a socioeconomic factor for football classification. The Board of Control approved yesterday a recommendation from the Classification Committee to adopt a similar model to one currently being used by the Minnesota State High School League. This would reduce 40% of a school's free or reduced lunch count from their annual enrollment to determine their final classification. Classifications in Iowa high school athletics are currently determined solely by enrollment. If approved, the socioeconomic factor would apply to high school football starting with the 2023 school year. The UNI women's basketball team returns home tonight. Panthers host North Dakota State at McLeod Center. That game tipped off at the top of the hour 12 minutes ago. The Panthers are 4-3 this season and looking to bounce back from a loss at South Dakota State on Saturday. North Dakota State, meanwhile, is 6-2. The Bison have dropped two in a row, though, after winning their first six to start this season. That early start for the UNI women tonight because, well, it is a doubleheader at McLeod Center. The UNI men's basketball team at home tonight hosting Toledo. And the Panthers enter this game 3-4, while the Rockets are 5-3. UNI unbeaten at home this season, including a win over Evansville on Saturday. That game tips off after the women at 7:30. The Iowa basketball team is taking on 15th-ranked Duke tonight in the Jimmy V Classic. Tip-off is around 8:30 at Madison Square Garden in New York. The Hawkeyes are making their first-ever appearance in the Jimmy V Classic. While this will be Duke's fourth appearance in the event, with the win tonight, it would be Iowa coach Fran McCaffrey's 500th career victory. Iowa is 6-1 this season. Duke is 8-2. Iowa junior forward Chris Murray has been named the ESPN Basketball National Player of the Week and the Big Ten Co-Player of the Week. Murray shares the conference honor with Purdue's Zach Edey. Murray powered the Hawkeyes to a convincing 85-61 win over Georgia Tech in the ACC Big Ten Challenge last Tuesday, exploding for 31 points, 20 rebounds, 4 assists, 4 three-pointers, and 2 block shots. The Cedar Rapids native is the first Hawkeye to amass 30 points and 20 rebounds in a game since 1977. All right, let's take this time out. CBS Sports Flash, VSiN action update, and a forecast all coming your way. On the other side, we're talking Hawkeye football and Hawkeye men's hoops with David Eicholt of HawkeyeInsider.com. and the 24/7 Sports Network. You're locked on to a Tuesday edition of Cole & Company right here on The Fan.
CBS Sports Radio. Sports Flash.
Well, the 49ers are down to their third quarterback, but could get one back this year. As ESPN reports, Jimmy Garoppolo does not need surgery on his injured foot. He could return in 7 to 8 weeks, which would put him on the field for the playoffs. The Cowboys meeting with free agent Odell Beckham Jr., though owner Jerry Jones told 105.3 The Fan there's no timeline for a deal, and ESPN reports they don't feel that he'll be ready until mid-January. The Rams have claimed Baker Mayfield off waivers from the Panthers. The Titans are in playoff contention, currently leading the AFC South, but have fired GM John Robinson after 7 years on the job. Assistant Ryan Cowden takes over. Tennessee is coming off back-to-back losses. It didn't help that leading the way on Sunday was former Titans receiver A.J. Brown with a pair of touchdowns. Ravens quarterback Lamar Jackson expected to miss 1 to 3 weeks with a sprained knee. Second-ranked Texas has had a strong start that includes wins over a pair of top 10 teams, and tonight comes another test from number 17, Illinois. Top-ranked Houston takes on North Florida. At the World Cup today, Portugal an easy winner over Switzerland, winning 6-1, while Morocco advanced in a huge upset of Spain, winning 3-0 on penalty kicks. I'm Rich Ackerman.
The NFL on The Fan is on your smart speaker. Just say, play 1650 The Fan.
Rick and the staff at Cedar Valley Electric would like to thank you for your business this past year. Have a merry, merry Christmas and a happy 2022. Cedar Valley Electric, keeping the Cedar Valley brighter since 1998.
At Waterloo Schools, our 1,700 staff members, our amazing families, and our community of volunteers and business partners are working together to provide safe, engaging, and rigorous learning experiences for our students. Those experiences include Career Inspire, our Waterloo Career Center trades-only career fair, and Life Lab. Through Life Lab, this year's students explore business and finance through professional baseball games. They learn the science of potential and kinetic energy through downhill skiing. Their nonprofit arts ambitions are inspired in the galleries of world-class art institutions with world-class art. Students just like Expo's Sam Glatt, East's Chloe Gunhouse, and West's Jada Casas are experiencing Life Lab and all it offers, these exposures to new experiences, new possibilities, new worlds, from classroom curriculum to career exploration for every student. These experiences are available right here for the students of Waterloo Schools. Visit us online at waterlooschools.org. That's waterlooschools.org.
Christmas is a time to spread cheer and goodwill. I'm Dennis Clark from Clark & Associates Prosthetics and Orthotics. We send our wishes for a joyous season to our clients, friends, and community. Merry Christmas from all of us at Clark & Associates Prosthetics and Orthotics.
This is Brent Musburger's VSiN Action Update on 1650 The Fan. Now, here are the latest lines from my guys in the desert.
NFL Monday night, the Saints and the Bucs to wrap up Week 13. New Orleans a 3-point underdog on the road, the over-under at 41. The college football playoff set with both semifinal games being played on New Year's Eve. Number 2 Michigan facing 3rd-ranked TCU in the Fiesta Bowl. The Wolverines a 9.5-point early favorite, minus 360 money line. The Horned Frogs at plus 295, the over-under at 60. 4th-ranked Ohio State in the Peach Bowl, a 6.5-point underdog against top-ranked Georgia, money line at minus 278. Buckeyes at plus 205, 59.5. The total. Red hot winning picks at experts.winnersandwiners.com. Save 75% on any best bet package with the promo code ACTION75. That's ACTION75 at experts.winnersandwiners.com.
I'm Trey Westerberg, 1650 The Fan.
I'm meteorologist Megan Mulford with your weatherology forecast. Mainly clear skies tonight with a low of 20. Winds out of the west at around 5 miles an hour. A blend of clouds and sun tomorrow. Highs level off around 38. Lows dip down to about 22 tomorrow night. Chance for mixed precipitation Thursday with a chance for snow Friday. Highs in the upper 30s. 1 to 3 inches of snow Thursday through Thursday night. With your weatherology Cedar Valley forecast, I'm meteorologist Megan Mulford. Right now it's 35.
This is Zach Gelb, and you're listening to Cole & Company on the Cedar Valley Sports Leader. Next up from 6 to 9 is me. It's the Zach Gelb Show, weeknights right here on 1650 The Fan.
Welcome back. Tuesday edition of the show continues. David Eichold of HawkeyeInsider.com joining us now. David, I think you can hear the music there coming back from break. Do you know what famous football movie that song was featured in for 500?
Oh, man. Oh, my God, Cole. I wish you would have told me that question before, like while you and I were talking off the air, so I was prepared to listen to it better.
Well, you might be a little young. I hate to be that guy because it's not like I'm that much older than you. But you might be a little young. You ever see Varsity Blues?
Oh, you know what? I mean, maybe 3 years ago, I haven't seen that movie one time. I do remember watching it, yeah.
Oh, man. If you were a little older, it was like a cult classic. Honestly, it was. Coach Bug Kilmer, a real treasure, let me tell you.
That's right. That was his name. I was trying to think about that. Yeah.
West Canaan Coyotes.
Oh, my goodness.
I'm not sure if they've got anybody in the transfer portal right now, David, but what's the number at? What's the number at now? What's the head count for the Iowa Hawkeyes from Kirk Ferentz's team in the transfer portal?
I believe we have 9 players in the transfer portal over the last couple of days. It's, I don't want to say they're done because, I mean, that was an absolute historic day yesterday, Cole. I mean, it really is unbelievable how many people there are going into the transfer portal. It's not surprising. And it's very funny that, you know, everybody's like, oh, what about the commitments? Commitments. I'm like, guys, they're going to come.
Yeah.
Relax. Well, but, yeah, it's certainly interesting to see how many players, especially with a couple surprises, at least that I didn't anticipate. I don't think anybody anticipated when the portal opened.
Yeah.
Has entered.
Defensive back Terry Roberts and outside linebacker Justin Jacobs, I think, are the two that would be the biggest surprises, right?
That's what I would say. Yeah, I think Justin Jacobs, you know, I started hearing rumblings about that on Sunday. Didn't really want to put anything out there. I don't find it fair to publicly speculate, even on our VIP board, about players who might transfer.
Mm-hmm.
I still think it's fair to the athlete. But, yeah, certainly a very notable name. I expect he'll be pursued by a bunch of heavy hitters, especially if he's healthy. But, I mean, this is a guy, Cole, where you need to think about this, and I think fans should think about this. I think they're disappointed about him and Terry not coming back next year. But the reality is they didn't contribute much to this year's team, especially Justin. I think he was in line for a big year, but he got hurt early in the year. Terry Roberts played in 5 games. Certainly, I think, was playing very well. But, you know, you have guys behind him that have been developing in the wings, and Iowa probably is going to go out there and have to land the guys in the transfer portal to take over. So while it's a big loss, I don't think it's anything insurmountable.
Here's the thing. Isn't it? The last couple of years, the numbers are there to be found that, like, 2 years ago, like, somewhere between 40 and 50% of the student-athletes that went in the transfer portal actually found new teams, new programs. And then last year, that number was even lower. So, I mean, if that is, in fact, the case, David, like, this is going to have to swing back kind of toward an equilibrium at some point here, isn't it? Or will it not? I don't know.
I mean, this is something you and I had talked about, and what you and I talked about when NIL opened, when this transfer portal opened. And, you know, I had an opinion that wasn't very popular, Cole, and I just basically said, this is an overcorrection. It's going to come back to bite them in the butt. Things are going to get a whole lot worse before they're better. I mean, you cannot point out one coach that loves the way the transfer portal works right now. And
nope.
I understand it. If a coach leaves, I think it's well within a player's right to transfer.
Yes.
I think that should be black and white, they should be allowed to go do it. That's how the rules are written. And I like the idea of a window. But, man, this makes it harder on recruits. High school recruiting, I think, is going to take a big hit. And the reality is, it's not all – the grass isn't always greener on the other side. It's not always cooler on the other side of the pillow, as the late Stuart Scott used to say.
Yes.
There are guys that are going to enter the portal that played their last snap of collegiate football. They are not going to find a home. And I've said since, you know, over the last year, it's never been more important to have a close, reliable inner circle for an athlete. You have to choose who's in it for your best interest and not their own. Because, like you said, players are going to the portal expecting a big opportunity, won't get it, will try to go back to their team. Mm-hmm. And the coach has every right to say, nah, we don't want you anymore. And I think that's completely fair.
Yeah. Yeah. And I think, unfortunately, I think it's probably going to take anywhere between like 3 to 5 more years before it becomes painfully obvious where these student athletes go, okay, like, I'm sure I could go in the portal. I could probably get some interest. Maybe I could even find a new team, but who's to say that I'll actually ever get back out on the field? And I'm very interested to see how this continues to play out over time, but by nature of the Hawkeyes having 9 players in the transfer portal, we've already seen the action with Cade McNamara making his transfer commitment to the Iowa Hawkeyes. David, is it profoundly clear that Kirk Ferentz and his staff are being more aggressive in this offseason's portal?
Absolutely. I mean, there's no question. I put in a crystal ball yesterday immediately after Michigan tight end Eric All entered the NCAA transfer portal. This is a guy, if he didn't get hurt, I believe would be in the NFL next season. He and Cade McNamara are very, very close friends. And as our own Sean Bach and myself reported, to our VIP members last night and this morning. Cade McNamara and Eric All will both be in Iowa City on Thursday for the Iowa-Iowa State game, and I believe there's going to be an official visit for both of them. So I do think Iowa's going to end up taking two or three wide receivers from the portal. I think they're going to take a look at potential offensive linemen. Mm-hmm. I think now they're going to have to go out and get a linebacker, and they're looking at a couple defensive backs as well. So there's no question that they're going hard after the portal, but I do know that it's a little bit frustrating for them because, as you know, Cole, you've been around Iowa's program long enough. You followed Iowa's program long enough. What they always do is their homework. They want to vent out players that they believe would be a detriment to the culture mm-hmm. and would not fit into the locker room. And with all these players going into the portal, it's so hard, if not impossible, for Iowa to do the amount of homework that they want to do on these players. So I'm very, very interested to see who Iowa continues to go after. And, I would just say keep it locked into HawkeyeInsider.com, and it's going to get a little bit crazier before it gets better, but I do anticipate over the next couple weeks there's going to be plenty of good news for Iowa football.
David Eicholt, HawkeyeInsider.com, our guest right now on this Tuesday edition of Cole & Company. And like David just said, bookmark HawkeyeInsider.com, get a VIP subscription. They do great work year-round, but nobody comes close to the work that him and his colleague Sean Bock do during the offseason with recruiting and the transfer portal. And David, it took all of, a nanosecond for Coach Prime out in Boulder to offer Caden Proctor. I can't help myself. And credit to Coach Prime. Like, I was watching videos from that media company that follows him around last night on YouTube. I should have been in bed. We had this station event last night. But I couldn't help myself. I mean, that guy is a magnet for attention. I think it's a great hire by Colorado, whether it goes well or doesn't go well. I don't know how you could criticize the hire. I mean, what do you make of Caden Proctor getting a Colorado offer, and what does it all mean maybe in the big picture, to setting aside a little bit at least the fascination of Coach Prime's involvement in all of it?
You know, before I make this comment about Deion Sanders, I want to make it perfectly clear. I think he's a very, very good coach, and he's a heck of a recruiter. I mean, he's going to get dudes in Boulder, Colorado. And, you know, a lot of people took offense when he went in there, and, you know, his media company was recording him. He said, hey, pack your bags, because I brought my own, and it's Louie.
Yeah.
I thought he's talking to a 1-11 team. You think he wants to go take over those guys?
Really? David, I loved it.
No, I did too. I think it's what any, you know, good coach would do. But with that being said, Deion also believes he's bigger than any program he's going to take over, and he might be bigger than Colorado. You know, for the record,
yeah.
I'm just saying that's my perspective of him. I got a lot of respect for him as a player, as a coach, what he's accomplished. But I had to say that. Anyway, about Caden Proctor. Once Deion got the job at Colorado, I was very intrigued about if he was going to go after Caden Proctor. Like you said, did not take long. I don't anticipate there being much traction right now. I think Iowa's done a much better job of recruiting Proctor over the last 6 weeks. I believe he's going to be an Iowa Hawkeye. I believe he'll be on campus next month and will be a starting offensive tackle for Cade McNamara's Iowa offense come September 3rd, I believe, is the season kickoff. So, you know, while it was an intriguing offer, I think Proctor is excited about it, obviously. I think every player should be excited about every offer they get, but I don't think it's going to be one that really moves the needle. I think Iowa, for the most part, mm-hmm. things can get crazy. I think Iowa's got that pretty locked up, though.
Speaking of Cade McNamara, it makes me think of the news with Spencer Petras with the season-ending shoulder surgery. Of course, we had talked last time you were on about Alex Padilla going into the transfer portal, a story you broke at HawkeyeInsider.com. Joey Labus and forgive me, I can't even remember the damn kid's name that also got
Carson
mentioned.
May.
Carson May, yeah. I mean, what's your analysis of the QB situation headed into the Music City Bowl?
All I know is if Will Levis opts out for Kentucky, you take the under. I don't care if the under is 10.5. I mean, the reality is this is going to be an absolutely brutal but so intriguing football game to watch, Cole. I mean, you have Joe Labus or Carson May. Neither one of them take call a snap. No Keegan Johnson. No Arlen Bruce. No Gavin Williams. Sam Laporta sounds like he's going to be back. You'll have Luke Lachey. But there are no wide receivers. It's going to be so fun. You know, and something I really want to happen, Cole, just for the chaos of it.
Yeah.
You know, I'm a man who loves hot takes and chaos.
Yes.
You know, I know you're aware of that. What about if Deuce Hogan finds a way to start for the Kentucky Wildcats?
Ooh.
And he and Joe Labus face off.
Ooh, yeah. That
I don't think he will, but man, that would be unbelievable to watch unfold.
That's drama on steroids right there if you're an Iowa Hawkeyes fan. All right, just a few minutes left here with David Eicholt, HawkeyeInsider.com. David, let's talk a little men's hoops here in the time we have left. Iowa taking on number 15 Duke tonight at Madison Square Garden for the Jimmy V Classic. This is the type of game that can have that March feel to it. So what are you thinking we might see in this one tonight between the Hawks and Blue Devils?
If Iowa wants to continue to push themselves as a national brand and program, there's very few ways better to do it than beat Duke in Madison Square Garden in primetime national television. I think this is a massive opportunity for Iowa to make a statement this season. You know, Duke is not really shooting the three-pointer well. I think they're a young team. I think Iowa's getting them at the right time. But a stat that really stands out to me that could be the make or break, Duke is second in the country in offensive rebounding percentage.
Wow.
We've seen Iowa struggle on the glass, defensive glass at times this year. Filip Hrabacha is going to be put through the gauntlet with Derek Lively, Kyle Filipowski. He's going to be tested. You're going to have to play Josh Ogundele some minutes tonight just from a pure size perspective. Iowa has to win the hustle battle. They have to attack the glass. And Chris Murray needs to be him. He needs to be Chris Murray. He needs to have that 28 points, 9 rebounds. He needs to see Patrick McCaffrey fight back. And this is a game where it's going to have a very big marked feel. I'm very intrigued about how Tony Perkins, Aaron Ulis come out. And I'm very, very intrigued to see if Peyton Sanford can really get it going from three-point range. I think that's also a next factor.
Great stuff, David. Appreciate your time as always, and we'll catch up again soon, man. Have a great rest of your week, okay?
Hey, you too, buddy. I appreciate you. Take care.
All right, take care. David Eicholt, HawkeyeInsider.com, kind enough to join us on this Tuesday edition of Cole & Company. All right, let's take this next time out. Radio Iowa Sports coming up. I told you at the top of the show we were going to talk Major League Baseball hot stove season, the winter meetings going on in San Diego. Between the time I told you that in the opening segment and where we are right now, just past the bottom of the hour, the Chicago Cubs have made their first substantial free agent signing of the offseason. We'll talk about that and a whole lot more next with Tommy Burch of the Des Moines Register on this Tuesday edition of Cole & Company on The Fan.
This is Sports on Radio Iowa. I'm Todd Kim. The Iowa Hawkeyes make their first appearance at the Jimmy V Classic tonight with a game against 15th-ranked Duke in Madison Square Garden. It figures to be a pro-Duke crowd in New York City, but Iowa coach Fran McCaffrey's not concerned about the Hawkeyes handling the atmosphere.
You know what our league is like at Indiana, at Purdue, at Michigan State. You know, we played power fives all the time. I don't think that situation will... It's just kind of the norm for us.
That'll be the second game of the doubleheader. The opener pits 17th-ranked Illinois against number 2 Texas. The U and I men are at home tonight against Toledo. That'll be the second game of a doubleheader in the McLeod Center. In the opener, it'll be the Panther women taking on North Dakota State. U and I coming off a loss at South Dakota State. The Drake women are on the road tonight as the Bulldogs take on South Dakota. This is Radio Iowa.
I was in the middle of the Atlantic Ocean when it happened. There was a sudden jolt and our submarine crashed on the seafloor. We were in total darkness.
That's Dr. Dejana Figueroa, a marine biologist and STEM teacher, talking about a deep sea dive she'll never forget.
It's funny. When I was a kid, I was afraid of the ocean. And there I was, 2 miles below the surface. But as a scientist, you prepare for that. Using our training and a little creativity, we fixed the sub and finished our experiments. The dive was just too important. Every dive gives us glimpses at things few people ever get to see. Glowing creatures, fiery undersea volcanoes. When we got back to the surface, I kissed the ground and called my mom, of course. But you know what? I wouldn't trade that dive for anything.
Dr. Figueroa uses her passion for STEM to discover new things and make the world a better place. She can STEM, so can you. Check out She Can STEM for more stories and inspiration. A message from the Ad Council.
Happy holidays from the People's Community Health Clinic in Waterloo and Clarksville, where they'd like to thank their many staff, patients, and partners for another incredible year. Have a great holiday season and a healthy start to the new year from People's Community Health Clinic.
Safety in the workplace is vital to your business. The U.S. Department of Labor states over 38,000 workplace illnesses and injuries happen in Iowa each year. Some of these could be avoided with proper markings. I'm Les with A-Line Striping and Sweeping. We'll clearly and visibly mark pedestrian areas and danger zones in your warehouse or factory, as well as storage areas, increasing organization and safety in your operation. My team is professional and our equipment is top of the line, ensuring maximum quality and customer satisfaction. Visit us online at A-Line Striping.
This is Dan Knipp with Air Services Heating and Air Conditioning. We focus a lot on customer relationships. Probably 80 to 90% of our customers are return customers. We provide both commercial and residential installations or replacements. A lot of our business is referral work. We put a lot of work in the front end value and quality of installation and systems. You can find us on the web, airservicesHVAC.com. You can also find us on Facebook. Just give us a call at 319-287-5858 and we'd love to hear from you.
May your Christmas be filled with the light of God's love. The students and staff at Cedar Valley Catholic Schools wish you and your family many blessings this Christmas season.
This holiday message is brought to you by Cedar Valley Catholic Schools.
It's an NFL doubleheader on Sports USA. And first, we're in the Empire State as Josh Allen and the Buffalo Bills host Garrett Wilson and the high-flying New York Jets. Then, we head to the Rockies as Mahomes and the Kansas City Chiefs try to wrangle the Denver Broncos with Russell Wilson and Jared Judy.
Steps around one defender and goes into the end zone. Touchdown, Denver!
It's the Jets at the Bills, then the Chiefs at the Broncos, this Sunday on Sports USA.
Coverage begins at 11:30, right here on The Fan. You're listening to the Cedar Valley Sports Leader, 1650 The Fan. And you're listening to Cole & Company with Cole Bear, weekdays 5 to 6.
Yeah, welcome back. Tuesday edition of the show continues in between when we went on air at the top of the hour and right now. Breaking news, multiple big-time Major League Baseball reporters saying that the Chicago Cubs have signed former Los Angeles Dodgers outfielder first baseman Cody Bellinger to a one-year, $17.5 million deal. That's certainly a get-right, try-to-restore-your-value contract for Bellinger, who I want to say was the 2018 MVP, maybe the 2017 MVP, and we bring on Tommy Burch of the Des Moines Register to talk Major League Baseball offseason. Tommy, thanks for being here. Was it 2018 when Belly won the MVP?
Yeah, it sounds right. I mean, that's the guy who, you know, at one point was, you know, one of the game's biggest young stars. And just over the last 2-3 years, really hasn't put together as much with the bat. So it's potentially a great signing for both Bellinger and the Cubs. The Cubs get an outfielder. They definitely need another one to go along with Happ and Suzuki. And if he does well, you know, maybe depending on the situation where the Cubs are at that point in the season, maybe it's somebody that they sign and trade, or maybe it's somebody that they try to hold on to, given you know, where the situation is for the Cubs and in terms of where they are competing wise. I just don't think they're going to be in a position where they're going to be holding on to assets. So from my point of view, it looks like a possible sign and trade deal with very little downside and possibly a tremendous amount of upside.
To me, Tommy, I think this deal speaks to how different this build is than the Theo and Jed build, where it seems like, yes, money is going to be spent to acquire talent, but at the same time, it's not as if everything is all in on the winning side in terms of transactions. There's still going to be transactions that are more geared more toward the future and continuing to supplement the farm system. Is that how you see it, where the eggs are kind of split up here, still split up here in these proverbial baskets?
Yeah, and I think maybe that's how it was early on too with Theo to a certain degree, although a couple of deals really made it seem like, okay, it's like, they are putting a lot of their eggs in one basket, and obviously when, you know, I say that, I think of a deal like Jason Hayward, but, you know, then towards once they got close to that World Series championship, it was all in on that year and saying, like, okay, whatever we have in the system, everything is available, we're going to put our cards on the table and our chips into the middle of the table to try to win this championship. So, you know, I think part of it is to having to restock that system, given that you did everything you could to win that World Series and then try to keep that window open for as long as possible when you make trades like the Quintana deal, which just did not pan out. So there's a lot of work that still has to, you know, be done for the Cubs to get back to that spot where they are competing for a World Series, but then get to a spot where, like, okay, that system, that minor league farm system, is fully replenished.
Tommy Birch, Des Moines Register, our guest right now on this Tuesday edition of Cole & Company. And Tommy, you know, covering the Iowa Cubs for the Register like you do, you end up coming in contact with so many different people in the Cubs organization. And there was a report yesterday from, I want to say, Gordon Wittenmeyer, and then David Kaplan confirmed it, where ownership, Tom Ricketts and ownership have told Jed Hoyer, you have a mandate, Jed, to feel compelled to spend money to improve the team. What do you make of that report? And was there anything that you have heard throughout the season, the Iowa Cubs season, or more recently, that would back up that report that, yes, Tom Ricketts, he got the dust off of his money, and he's actually prepared to start spending like the Cubs are a big market team again?
Yeah, that was kind of the proverbial thought that, you know, I'd heard from a lot of people coming in and out of Des Moines, and then people that are in Des Moines as well, that, like, okay, they're getting a lot of money off the books. There is going to be money for them to spend, and they fully seemed invested in the idea of spending that money. So it really doesn't come as a shock, but I think it's more or less like, okay, what are they going to spend it, and when is the timing of that money going to be spent? You know, obviously last year, I think there was money to be spent, but one, there wasn't that much time given the baseball lockout, and two, just the options out there that were available. The free agent market wasn't what it is this offseason. I don't think the Cubs organization was in a spot that it is in right now as organization as well to go out and spend the money and say, like, okay, we're going to spend it now to compete. You know, what you want to do is, and kind of what the calling card of Theo Epstein, I think kind of the calling card is going to be of Jed Hoyer too, is get those prospects in the system, get the minor league system built up, build the farm back up where you have a ton of prospects. And then once they're kind of rising through the system and getting ready to contribute at the big league level, figure out which guys are going to be the mainstays and then kind of fill in those gaps with free agent signings. You know, they are going to be the Yankees where, even though they had a ton of money out there to spend, they aren't going to be the Yankees in terms of how they spend it, just going out like the George Steinbrenner Yankees, at least, yeah, of just taking five different free agents and going after the biggest ones and throwing a ton of money at them. And I think, frankly, that's just kind of an archaic way of thinking now and in a archaic way of operating. So I think you're going to still see a couple of big signs from the Cubs, but it's going to be like, okay, we need a shortstop, we need a starting pitcher, maybe we need an outfielder. That's what's going to be, to fill those gaps and try to plug in the holes that are left over.
You brought up shortstops. Trey Turner gets an 11-year, $300 million deal with the Phillies, which, I mean, that was fascinating to see. Not sure what to make of, you know, that commitment of 11 years, and then, you know, the Phillies, I think that they helped themselves out by nature of that commitment, that term, lowering the average annual value to a little over $27 million, which, like, Corey Seager got, I think, a little over $35 million when he signed last year with the Texas Rangers. So, I mean, what do you think about Carlos Correa? Because he's at the top of this shortstop market. There's no question about it. Would he take anything less than an 8-year deal? What kind of dollar figure do you think he's talking about? And then I think I'm most interested in how big might the difference be in terms of years and money between a Carlos Correa, who's about to turn 28, and a Xander Bogaerts, who's also really good, maybe not quite Correa, but really good and 30 years old?
Yeah, I mean, I think kind of the overwhelming thought within the industry is right now when it comes down to Carlos Correa, they're pretty much two heavy hitters that are really going after him, and it's going to be the Cubs and the Minnesota Twins. But I think the Twins are there, but I don't think they're like heavy hitters. I think this is kind of the Cubs' deal to lose, to not win the Carlos Correa sweepstakes, because you know, if Correa really wanted to stay with the Minnesota Twins, he wouldn't have opted out of this contract that he had with the Twins. He would have gone, he would have taken the player option and gone back to Minnesota for a year and thought it back through and said, okay, I'm going to go out and get another deal then. But, you know, I think he's looking for, kind of my understanding of the situation, looking for a long-term deal where he can stay, he can win, he can be comfortable, he can be happy, he can be a leader. And I think the Cubs have the money. The Cubs are willing to throw him the years. I think the biggest thing for the Cubs is going to be, can they sell him on the idea that they are going to win right away? Because Carlos Correa does not want to be a part of a rebuild. He does not want to be a part of a situation where they're 2-3 years away from winning. He wants to be on a winner right now, and that was part of the appeal of the Minnesota Twins last year. At least the thought process was they were going to be a big-time contender. They ended up not being, and I think that probably moves up the sense of urgency to win right now for Correa.
Understandable that Correa wants to play for a winner, Tommy, and the Cubs certainly are going to have their work cut out for him to prove that they're going to get there sooner rather than later. And what I would point to beyond the most obvious of they've got to inject offense into their team, they do not have an ace, a frontline starting pitcher. And I've always kind of thought that if you really want to be a serious contender for a World Series, you don't just have to have an ace. You've got to have aces. You've got to have at least a 1A, 1B. Some teams have gotten by without that, with a true 1 and a true 2. But to me, that's just kind of been the bedrock of the best World Series teams we've seen. Cubs don't even have one. And they're not, that, you know, Jacob DeGrom's off the board. Justin Verlander is off the board. Clayton Kershaw off the board. Carlos Rodon, the Cubs could afford him, but that nobody's reported that they're connected to him. Who else? I mean, am I missing somebody here? I mean, this is probably, I haven't let myself get too worked up about it yet, but this is certainly my most frustrating thing that I've gathered as this offseason unfolds here.
Yeah, and to me, that's kind of the biggest need that the Cubs have is, you know, frontline starting pitcher. You know, obviously, I think Carlos Correa would be a nice pickup, but I'm still very bullish on Nico Hoerner. You know, he did a phenomenal job at shortstop and played really well. Now, the thing with Nico Hoerner is, can he stay healthy? And obviously, he's a great player with rising potential and, you know, has that superstar potential in him. But Carlos Correa is a proven asset, a guy who you know is going to get the job done, a guy that you know is going to be in the lineup daily. But when I look at the rotation for the Chicago Cubs, like, there are some decent arms there, but they are all, like, number two, number three, and that's, like, on a best-day type scenario.
Yep.
For a lot of these guys. Marcus Stroman, I'm still not convinced, is the guy. He definitely is not going to be the guy, but I don't know if he's your number two or number three. You know, he's got to stay healthy. He's got to be more consistent. I think my biggest concern moving forward with Kyle Hendricks is that the idea of the game is going to change drastically for him when it comes to defensive positioning. How is he going to be able to adjust to that, being a guy that pitches to contact constantly? Now the Cubs have some arms in the system, obviously Justin Steele, Keegan Thompson. I just don't know where those guys fit into things for the Cubs long term. You know, they seem like 4 and 5 or maybe stretch reliever type guys.
Yeah.
But other than that, throughout the minor league system, when you look at like who they have coming up, you know, they have some good arms down there, but they are 2-3 years away from really being those guys that you hope for, and you never know when it comes to pitching. So, to me, yeah, you know, going out and getting a frontline starter has got to be a top priority for the Cubs. It doesn't look like that's going to be a route that they go free agency, but it could be something that they could go out and possibly trade for when the time comes that they're ready to compete for a World Series title.
Yeah, that's the only scenario I see is the trade market to try to acquire a guy of that caliber. Tommy, I got to run. Great to catch up with you, man. Enjoying the MLB hot stove. Hopefully it stays lit, as the kids would say. Take care, man.
It's burning, man. I'm pumped.
Take care, dude. Great catching up.
You too.
Tommy Birch, Des Moines Register, kind enough to join us on a Tuesday edition of Cole & Company. Let's take this final timeout. We'll come back, wrap up the show right after this.
I'm Omar Reese with NFL Network, now on the Westwood One Radio Network. Tom Brady led a fourth quarter comeback as the Bucs beat the Saints 17-16 on Monday Night Football. Down 13 points, Brady threw two touchdown passes in the final 3 minutes, including the game winner with 3 seconds left as the Buccaneers moved to 6-6. Ravens head coach John Harbaugh said that quarterback Lamar Jackson is considered week to week with a knee sprain and is unlikely to play this upcoming Sunday at the Steelers. The Panthers waived quarterback Baker Mayfield. Mayfield went 1-5 as a starter in Carolina. Meanwhile, free agent wide receiver Odell Beckham Jr. worked out in Dallas with the Cowboys on Monday. The NFL announcing the matchups for NFL Network's Week 15 triple header on Saturday, December 17th. The Vikings host the Colts, Browns host the Ravens, and the nightcap, the Bills, hosting the Dolphins. This has been NFL Network Now on the Westwood One Radio Network.
This week at Staples, save 40% on...
Thanks for your business this year.
Save 40% on...
Happy holidays, Nana!
Save 40% on...
You are cordially invited.
Right now at Staples, you can save 40% on custom printed holiday cards and invitations. So you can say, thanks for a great year, happy holidays, or come on over, all for less. For everything you need printed this holiday, go to Staples, the working and learning store. In-store and online. Ends 12/17. Exclusions and restrictions apply.
I'm Dan Patrick, and this is Above the Noise. Last night, the Buccaneers took down divisional rival New Orleans as Tom Brady and the Bucs trailed by 13 going into the final 3 minutes. But just as we've come to expect with Brady, the QB led Tampa to that last-second comeback. The Buccaneers' win is a step in the right direction for a team that struggled to live up to the expectations. But although a victory is never something to be disappointed about, the Bucs still have a long way to go in order to compete with the NFC's best. Tampa ranks dead last in rushing yards per game, 27th in scoring offense, and in the rare chance the team does find the red zone, Tampa's in the bottom half of the league in red zone scoring percentage. Last night's win over New Orleans certainly will help the Bucs with that playoff run, but with so many glaring issues still hanging over this team, a last second win over a 4-9 Saints team doesn't provide too much hope for fans looking for another Super Bowl run. I'm Dan Patrick, and this is Above the Noise.
Football weather is here. Freezing temperatures, sleet, snow, and ice. Are your tires ready to tackle winter's worst? Well, the experts at TireRack.com will get your vehicle ready for primetime. They sell tires that dominate winter, like the Pirelli Soto Zero. Go to TireRack.com/Dan and tell them what you drive. Test results, tire ratings, consumer reviews, all the stats you need to make the right call. TireRack.com, the way tire buying should be. This message is brought to you by Discover. Did you know you could reduce the number of unwanted calls and emails with online privacy protection? The latest innovation from Discover. Discover will help regularly remove your personal information like your name and address from 10 popular people search websites that could sell your data. And they'll do it for free. Activate in the Discover app. See terms and learn more at discover.com/online privacy protection. That's discover.com/online privacy protection.
Welcome back to Cole & Company with Colbert. Afternoons 5 to 6 on 1650 The Fan at 102.3 FM and on the 1650 The Fan app.
Welcome back for a final time on this Tuesday. Got to thank David Eichel of HawkeyeInsider.com and Tommy Birch of the Des Moines Register for their contributions to today's show. A lot of fun. Talking Hawkeyes and Major League Baseball hot stove with those two. Over on our companion station tonight, Cruising KCFI, the Cedar Falls girls basketball team plays host to Cedar Rapids, Washington. That is a pregame start time around 7:15 with Dave Finnegan. Tip off at 7:30. Good luck to the Tigers tonight. Then the next couple nights here on The Fan, it's Iowa State at Iowa basketball. The women tomorrow night, the men on Thursday night. I'm headed to McLeod Center for UNI Toledo. Have a good night, everybody.
You've been listening to Cole & Company, the Cedar Valley's maximum sports talk show. Heard afternoons from 5 to 6 on 1650 The Fan and the all-new 102 at 102.3 FM.